When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Tunes and Tumblers by Atwood Magazine. Listening to music is more than an auditory experience. Tunes and Tumblers explores the way our senses mingle by pairing new and classic albums with cocktail and mocktail recipes. We invite you to bring out your inner mixologist as we approach the music we love from a unique, immersive, and thoroughly delicious perspective. So put up your feet and enjoy a cold one on us. I'm your host, Anthony, and I'm coming to you live from sometime in the very distant past. We recorded this episode in early May, which means that if you're hearing this, then thank God the world didn't end. And, you know, I know that's a lot of wishful thinking on our part, but if we somehow made it this far, then we have something truly special lined up for you. Please avert this coming apocalypse responsibly.
We already averted apocalypse, Anthony.
Another one.
Oh, fuck.
TJ Khaled voice. Another one. Of course, we all know that drinking alone is a sad, sad business, so I found a fellow time traveler who stepped out of a Scrabble board asking what year it is and asked her to join me on the show, and she is...
Wait, you mean that wasn't a DeLorean? Fuck.
No. Jumanji rules.
I'm Kaylin, your cocktail artist.
And our guests today are members of one of our all-time favorite bands, and we're not just saying that. They came together in 2012 and quickly made a name for themselves with a fizzling indie pop sound that they continue to evolve to this day. Their 2014 single Reflections put them on the map, garnering rave responses from fans and critics on its way to platinum status in the U.S. They followed that first big W with the albums Our Own House, Connect the Dots, and Superbloom, the latter of which racked up praise from Nylon, Paper, DuJour, Today.com, and MTV, just to name a few. They've toured alongside everyone from 21 Pilots and Panic at the Disco to Walk the Moon and 30 Seconds to Mars, in addition to selling out headline tours of their own. And with a catalog as rich as theirs, it's easy to see why. They're here today to discuss their latest album, Nosebleeds, which hits streaming this Friday on Photo Finish Records. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please welcome Mandy Lee, Etienne Bowler, and Mike Murphy of Mr. Wives to the pod.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What an intro.
What an intro. I'm going to call you every morning for that pep talk. Thank you.
And he didn't even stutter this time.
That should be our alarm. Like, if I could wake up to that, I would feel great.
Anthony affirmations. We're going to make this a new thing. We're going to have a new podcast.
That's a nice
account.
I love it.
Mm, yes, that's going to be my new Instagram.
I'm not making alcohol drinks for it.
That's how you believe the affirmations. You one cocktail at a time.
Exactly. Yeah. Once you get to 10, you know you've been affirmed.
And you're like, I'm amazing. Yes.
Instead of that, why don't we get to the show? I know that y'all have had a busy week, so let's just jump into it. What has everyone been listening to recently?
Music.
I mean, there are other things to listen to, so that's fair.
I'm going to go first because like I'm actually really excited about this. I know this comes out way in the future, so there's probably way more of it now. But my favorite people, Devin, Aaron, and Drew, producer Drew himself, have just released their new podcast. It's called The Gods Must Be Horny. And it's basically Devin explaining just like gross Greek mythology to everyone. And I have been waiting for this podcast for so long, ever since they canceled Fuckboy Book Club. And it's just as good. Y'all got
to
go check it out.
Very, very different podcast. I need to check these out. That sounds
there's
amazing.
So much variety out there. There's something for
there's
everyone.
Something for everyone.
Just
for
like
there's a lid for every pot.
I mean, that's just like there's thing. Just like there's people that sell their feet photos online.
Yes.
There's something for
Aiken
everyone.
Actually does. Yeah. But hey, are you gonna answer what you've been listening to, or music is your final answer?
Wait. I don't sell my photos of my feet online.
We did. I took photos. Aiken in rehearsal yesterday was drumming with no shoes and no socks. So I took photos, and I am making money off of ATN's feet.
Nice.
This is a lie. This is a lie. This
it's not.
No.
I have receipts. Murph bought them all.
such a supportive bandmate.
You got to support your friends. You
absolutely.
Really have to, you know, all their endeavors.
Anyway, yeah, what I've been listening to a lot of wonderful music, mostly our album Nosebleeds. But in addition to that, I've listened to a lot of 1975.
Ooh, yes.
Very good.
Listened to The Weeknd. I always loved The Weeknd. And then Remy Wolf is awesome. And I listened to Frankie bark because I just rescued a dog and he was just barking there. And that's music to my ears.
Frankie's hanging with me today.
Yeah,
that's a very good array of music. Hey, you got to bring Frankie into the frame. We rescued him while making Nosebleeds, actually.
Oh wow,
we love a good pup.
Yeah, he's the sweetest pup ever.
He's our newest muse.
It's all Mandy's fault.
I take full responsibility.
Everybody in this world needs a dog mascot. We have two.
Kaylin, tell me what you've been listening to.
Shit, I've been listening to a lot of things because honestly, there was a lot of music that came out, but I'm gonna just talk about one. Benny came out with a song called Green Honda, which, you know, we love a shitty car, but the start of the song is basically saying somebody's been a waste of your fucking time and that they were a big mistake. And they basically are like, you know, I don't want you anymore. I'm over it. That's sort of like the basis of it. Like they're in their green Honda rolling up and they're like, you know, I made some mistakes. We made some mistakes. This fucking sucks, but I'm rolling up in my sick ass car to be like, peace.
I love that. I gotta listen. I just love her. She's amazing. Also, it's Benny, not Benet. I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Or is it Benet?
I don't know. It's probably I'm probably saying it wrong too. We all just it's like Tuvalu.
Yes.
I obviously
said it wrong the whole time.
Yeah. If they don't actually at the beginning of their song pronounce their name, we're just gonna go with whatever we think it is.
Like DJ Khaled, second reference of the show.
No, I don't know if you guys can hear this, but this is how it, according to Google.
Benet.
Benet. Perfect.
Yeah, so it's always more French than we think it is, basically.
It's always the French.
When in doubt, say it more French, and you'll get it right.
But we still have two people who need to tell us what they've been listening to. Mandy Murph, what do you got?
What have I been listening to? Lots of podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. In the morning, I start my day off with Spotify's Calming Classical. That's my go-to playlist first thing. But throughout the day, I listen to lots of 1975, Turnstile, Door Ajar. I love the new Boy Genius record. That's been on repeat probably more than anything else right now. So we've got a wide array of emotions here.
Don't we all?
From Turnstile to Boy Genius, that's my spectrum. That's my range.
Love it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm also all over the place. I'm always still listening to Maggie Rogers. I love that album. And I'm also, we get to be in a rock band with Manny, so I'm always listening to like Blondie and Debbie Harry and all these badass women who kind of made rock and roll. But thinking out of Nosebleeds, I've been listening to some older, kind of a little darker stuff. Sonic Youth, Joy Division, some of these kind of older rock bands that I like. But any given day, I'm all over the place.
Speaking of which, I actually just saw L7 a couple of nights ago. They're still rocking.
Still going. What was the venue? Where did you see them?
It was at the Crocodile in Seattle.
Oh, Seattle. Are you guys in Seattle?
Oh, no. I was just there over the weekend to see Belltown Bloom. So this dates the show a little bit because that happened. I mean, like when you're listening to it, this happened a long time ago. But yeah, it was Mannequin Pussy opening for L7.
That's awesome.
When you have the opportunity and they're only a short flight away, you might as well go.
Mm-hmm. Use those points.
Oh, yeah. He used like all of his like flying miles for it. He didn't even pay any cash for it.
Ka-ching.
Smart. Womp womp. You sound like ATN. ETA has a side hustle.
Oh, yeah. I am also a travel agent.
Oh, damn.
Is, is the crocodile the, does that have a little pizza shop in there?
I don't know, but
how would you not know if there was a pizza shop in there, Anthony?
I don't remember.
I think we played the crocodile with Half Moon Ronnie.
They have the giant skeleton of a crocodile, like in the middle of the venue, like hanging from the middle of the venue.
That's tight.
Was there a ping pong table?
They might have cleared it out for this, but there were three bars in this building, and each one had a different stage on it, which was really interesting. Oh,
wow. That's wild.
Yeah.
Sounds like a mini festival.
It was, and it was all indoors. Like, you go to the main stage, it's in the big room, and then you go downstairs, and there's another bar with a stage, and then you go into like the back room, and then there's like a little theater with another bar.
That sounds like my meditation I did the other day. Anthony, can we get in the bar yet?
Yes, let's please go. But before we do that, listeners, do you want to hear what else we've had on repeat? Check out our YBLT playlist on Spotify. YBLT stands for What Have You Been Listening To? But you'll know you have found it when you find the cover art of a sandwich, because we love BLTs, among other types of sandwiches.
Yum, yum, yum.
But it's music that I listen to, music Kaylin listens to, music Lily listens to, and a bunch of Rick Astley from Eric. You can thank him so much for that. Mm-hmm. But go check it out. Also, if you're an artist and you want promotion for your stuff, please send it to us on Instagram. We'd love to feature you on that playlist. So hit us up. But you know what? I hear that the bar is opening soon, and I would like to go inside to get a drink.
Me too. I'm thirsty.
But
yeah, let's do it.
So
it's only 11:46. I'm ready. I'm ready to start the day.
But y'all need to show the bouncer your IDs. What did you bring to show him?
Oh.
Were y'all sleeping during the run of show?
No, not at all.
Frankie.
Oh, little puppy.
Cute.
And he gets me in anywhere because he's so cute and much better than an ID. Because my photo on my ID, not very cute.
What's your ID? What are you using?
I brought my saxophone. That's me, which is really lame because I'm the saxophone player.
Saxophones aren't lame according to Anthony. Anthony loves a sax solo.
Oh my God, yes. Please.
I'm your guy. I too love a sax solo. No, but I always bring it everywhere, like whenever we travel, which also makes, you know, you have to carry it on the plane, so I lose a carry-on. But my sax has a cool story. It's from like 1939. It was made by this guy, Henri Selmer, which a lot of sax players and nerds really think was a great horn maker back in France in the 30s. And it came to me through my dad. My dad was a firefighter, and one of his firefighter buddies had this thing like sitting in a closet 20 years, no case. And his father had played like with Sinatra and died young or something. I don't know. He was trying to see one of his grandkids.
So there's basically a ghost in that thing?
There's a ghost in my horn, and it gets me in every bar in the country. And it's very good identification. Yeah. Yeah. It's got a, you know, it's a little green, you know. It's got some colors.
Blowing ghosts.
He's blowing ghosts.
Blowing ghosts.
Yeah. If there's a ghost in your horn, you just have to blow it. It'll go away.
Yeah.
For the story time.
Thanks, Murph.
That's my story. You're welcome.
Yeah. I will say that is how you get into bars, or you don't get into bars, is by playing sax, which has happened many times.
Murph, try to sit in with the local band, you know?
You just have to serenade the bouncer.
Yeah. They're like, you can't come in. And then they're like, oh, you have a sax? Okay, that's fine.
There's actually this movie called The Boys and Girls Guide to Getting Down. And one of the scenes shows this guy like learning how to get into the bar. And they basically take this nerdy dude and they drag him into the bathroom. It's like these guys in white coats, and they drag him in the bathroom. They give him tattoos like right on the spot. They give him a guitar case that's actually empty. And then they put a leather jacket on him, and he just looks like this sick ass dude. And all these women are just like, oh, hey. And that's the story.
That sounds like Murph's life.
Yeah.
That sounds like
I like it.
But we need one more ID.
Yes.
Mandy, what you got?
I tried to have my cat be my ID, but
I saw the cat.
He did not want to participate, so I have to.
That sounds like a normal cat.
Okay, I'm gonna have my closet be my
that is colorful.
This is a good representation of myself.
How many feathers are in there?
How many feathers? I can't count that high.
So many boas, so much color.
Yeah. Lots of color, and then I would dress the whole bar. And this looks like a fun bar to me. So
oh my god.
And the band. Sometimes
that literally looks like a bachelorette party blew up in your closet.
I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult, but I'll take
very much.
Yes. It's always bachelorette parties are fucking fire. I've never not had fun at a bachelorette party. As long as there's not penises everywhere, it's fun.
My house. True. We got Murph's banana penis in my closet. We're having a bachelorette party. Woo! Here.
Yeah.
Anthony, did we get in?
Yes, we did. Welcome to the Tunes and Tumblers bar, right. Everyone.
We made it to the bar.
Yeah, we immediately hung up all of Mandy's boas everywhere to set the mood for the album we are listening to. One good thing about this bar is the magical jukebox that allows us to listen to music from all over the timeline, past, present, and future. So I'm going to cue up an album we are all stoked to listen to. Today we're listening to Nosebleeds, the fourth studio album by the band Mr. Wives, dropping this Friday, July 14th on Photo Finish Records.
Anthony, you didn't have to punch me in the face, shit.
Oh my gosh, but I wanted to really embody this album. And you know, first I want to say that Reflections was the first song I ever heard from y'all way back in the day, and it's a bop, but you've been on this upward trajectory ever since. And I speak without hyperbole when I think that this is your best album by a long shot. And, you know, whereas Superbloom felt like a collection of self-affirming mantras, Nosebleeds kind of captures life at its messiest and kind of like how the road to knowing yourself isn't all glitter and gold. And woven in is this recognition that sometimes the biggest thing standing in your way is your own self-judgment, which I'm all about. But on top of that, you know, listeners, if you're just looking to jam out, it's sonically rich and stylistically diverse. The title track infuses a dance floor ready groove with a thick bass line. End of My Rope has this psychedelic bent with bright keys and this spaced out vibe. And Out of Your Mind is full of these grungy, distorted guitars and venomous lyrics. So there's really something for every mood on here.
I literally, when I was listening to it, my first thought was, I can't wait till they're in LA and I can just like bounce around to all of this. I'm excited.
Oh, thank you.
It's going to be a sick ass show.
But the question is, which mood did Kaylin go for when crafting a cocktail to pair with this album? What do you have for us?
Well, I've been going back and forth on the name of it because I didn't want it to be like too stupid obvious. But I think we're going to call it Sucker Punch because why not? Because you guys said it like a million times in your descriptions of like dealing with all the shit that life throws at you.
No, that's accurate. Very on brand. I love it.
So I've taken, this is funny because I really wanted to try using a different thing. I use the same alcohols over and over again. Everybody loves gin, but I found that Absolut does this Absolut a peach vodka.
Oh, I thought that was a typo.
I really wanted, no, it actually says Absolut a peach. It's like it's basically Super Mario vodka. So I took that, and what I really, really wanted to do was I really wanted to lean into that sort of, you know, feeling of nosebleed and think life throwing things in your face and you having to deal with it. And so I took maraschino cherries because I know Anthony hates them. And I basically smashed them with lime, like a half a lime. And I did simple and the vodka, and then I put a little bit of sparkling water on top, and then I did orange Angostura bitters, and the rim of this has a smoked salt.
Ooh.
And then we've got a garnish of a very heavily bruised pear, not literally, but I took blackberries and I made it look like it's been beaten
that's
up.
So creative.
And then a little spriggy of rosemary to freshen it up. So we've got a lot of different flavor profiles that I'm mixing here, and I really wanted to, you know, lean into the idea of all these, you know, different moods and different experiences that sort of shape our lives, the ups and the downs, and you can't have a great day if you haven't had a terrible day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I actually took the little, you know, when you're, I don't know if this is kind
of spilled already, I'll be back with a napkin.
When any person who's given birth to a child knows, and anybody that's bought specialty fruit at the grocery store knows that these little like mesh net things that are like protective, they like make mesh undies for undies, people that give birth in a way to hold it all in. And so I wrapped it around my glass here.
This is the most poetic cocktail I've ever seen.
So cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Wish I was drinking with you guys. I just have...
I mean, you know, when you're at the Wiltern Theater, I could always sneak in the pre-made cocktail and
maybe a little thermos.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's very peachy.
Cheers me.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Don't spill it. Clink.
Clink.
.mp3. A plus plus. It sounds amazing and the perfect balance.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Of pain and of suffering and enjoyment.
I mean,
can you now do a Guy Fieri description of what it tastes like?
I'm not actually drunk enough to give a Guy Fieri explanation.
Out of bounds, eh? That's his go-to.
Well, the thing is, we went to Bottle Rock in 2021, and Guy Fieri was there, and he was literally like the quote-unquote phantom of the festival. He literally like just came on the stage while people were performing, and it was following him and Dave Grohl like doing massive tequila shots at the Williams-Sonoma stage. So he like got schmammered and then proceeded to just like wander around the festival, just like popping in on main stages and like just walking on stage right in the middle of a lot of things.
As he
I'm not good at impressions, but I do know that I'd have to be very drunk to do a Guy Fieri impression. Yeah, there's no way around it.
Something just kept popping up saying I'm unstable. That's how the album's written. And if that happens, we'll keep going with the flow. In honor of nosebleeds. Your quote, you always say, like, we thought Super Bloom was rock bottom, but the basement was nosebleeds. You're like, it went lower than rock bottom.
There's many levels of hell.
Yeah.
Dante's Inferno taught us that, I believe.
Way down. Very toasty at the moment. But yeah, in light of the drink, this album was a response to all the sucker punches. And, you know, rather than skipping to the silver lining and fast forwarding, like, we really leaned into the messy middle and explored all meanings of the word nosebleeds, of being high up from where you want to be, kept on the outside, but also being beat down. And it was probably the most... I'm always honest with my music, but every album we're like, okay, we're going to keep peeling off the layers and like really get to the root of things. And for it to not be palatable and pretty and, you know, everything that was Super Bloom, which I love and adore, and that's still all parts of me, but we're multifaceted and we have so much range. And I didn't want to just gloss over things that were really hard for me to work through by, you know, having some toxic positivity outlook on it and being like, this is the real rawness of what my experience has been. And I hope it's comforting to everybody else, because we live in the day and age of everything looks perfect and social media and everybody's presenting like we've got it all figured out. And I don't think that's true.
When are you gonna,
a very small percentage of people,
when are you gonna drop Super Bloom and Onion?
Did you see that tweet?
No.
Did you see I tweeted that recently?
I didn't. Oh, I was just thinking of that.
You're a match made in heaven. Someone tweeted, wow, that's so funny. Literally, like last week, I think someone was like, oh, Mr. Ives is playing in Outback.
Oh,
and
my
I said,
God.
Did you get the Super Bloom and Onion?
Oh, my God. I love that. Yeah, I actually don't. I don't enter into the world of Twitter ever because I care too much about my sanity.
I try to do that. I try to just post things and then get off on all social media because it doesn't do good things for my headspace. But I was happy. That's like the only, it's been all like nosebleeds, album rollout, and then a Super Blooming Onion tweet. That's it.
That's brilliant.
I love that. That makes me so happy. I now want to go get some fried food.
Mm.
That would go well.
Now,
the sweetness, salty, you need all the flavor profiles here.
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to dip it in sugar. I'm going to get a Bloomin' Onion that's covered in cayenne pepper and then dip it in sugar. That seems like the move.
Wow. Honestly, next episode, no matter what the artist wants, you do that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's happening.
Will used to want to make chocolate covered onions, so he'd be pretty excited by all this.
Growing up, my dad used to love to make a onion, mayonnaise, mustard, and peanut butter sandwich.
Oh no, the peanut butter lost me.
I know. It's it sounds weird. I've tried it. It's not. I wasn't mad.
Wait, raw onion or cooked onion?
Raw onion.
Oh my
god. Purple onion.
No. Oh, the connection is bad. We have to go.
Sorry. Canceled.
You guys are breaking up.
Okay. You know what? Good for you. I'm happy you like it.
I don't like it. I just wasn't mad at it.
You weren't mad? No way. That's crazy.
I'll eat anything, honestly.
This is going to be a stretch, but I wanted to bring it back to this. You were mentioning, Mandy, a little bit about like running into toxic positivity on social media. And also like that we're in the age of toxic positivity and about how any sort of like I've noticed any sort of criticism of something, whether or not it's founded, it's just like, oh, well, just let people enjoy things. Everything is good all the time. And how dare you criticize anything, including the onion sandwich? That was the connection I wanted to make. But yes, I was wondering, like,
Thanks for validating me, Anthony.
You're a mixologist, so you have much better taste buds.
I'm
going to now try an onion peanut butter sandwich.
You don't have to. Don't put yourself through something that's going to just hurt you in the long run. Or do. It might make you stronger in at the end of the day. Yeah. You may end up finding your new favorite food.
Well, the question I wanted to ask is how you feel as a band that has affected you and like what you want to say in your music.
What?
Sorry, what was the question?
I didn't get that either.
Oh, because we were talking about toxic positivity. I'm not talking about the sandwich anymore.
Oh,
I thought we were still on sandwich.
Yeah,
we were
still on sandwich. We've got to transition better.
Listeners, do you want to hear the full transcript of the sandwich? Go to our bonus episode.
Don't forget the mayonnaise.
Don't forget it.
Never forget the mayonnaise.
But I want to talk a little bit about the album. So if I may rephrase my question, toxic positivity seems to be everywhere on social media. How do you feel that has affected the way that you create music together, or has it affected it at all?
Okay, that's a good question. Not about the sandwich, about the music. I think for starters, there's a balance because I can understand why people want to find the good in things. Like every day I try to say three things I'm grateful for and practicing gratitude and opening up your perspective to while yes, things are really awful and painful, especially in the last few years of everything we've collectively experienced and my own personal traumas. Like there is always something to find that keeps hope alive and to keep you grounded and like shifting your perspective towards the good that is out there. Because I think it's also an onslaught of like so much negativity in the news and you just get completely lost in that. So I can understand the intention of that positive outlook, but I also get how it's gotten really muddled and now everything is just like looked at through this rose-colored lens. And especially how we show up on social media, because you're only ever showing the highlights of your life, you know?
I just started showing photos of me crying.
Have you done that?
I actually have, honestly. I've gotten to that point where I'm just posting like sad girl shit. I mean, when we're sad and we're expressing that sadness emotion visibly, people tend to friends and family and people that care about us typically will respond with empathy and love and try to help us to feel better. And I think that staying in that sort of positive, I'm doing great. Nobody's going to come to talk to you and ask if you're okay because you seem like you're doing great. And when we actually express how we're truly doing and we're honest with people, then people can be there for us and help us through it rather than just us trying to figure out like why I'm so sad while I'm so happy while I'm so sad.
I think the flip side of that is that sometimes your friends and family will try to rush you through it instead of letting you be through in the messy middle. Like, oh, have you considered this? Like, oh, you know, there's plenty of other fish in the sea. It's like we have this tendency to want to help people get back to baseline. And
sometimes I just need somebody to sit there and hug me while I'm crying
and, hug you.
And not tell me that I need to be happy or put a smile on. I need to feel this because if I don't ever feel this, I'm never going to feel happy. You've got to have the balance. You've got to have both. You can't have the high highs without the low lows. That's actually a song.
Held there rather than rush to like, oh, look at the bright side or this and that. And I get why people do that because they want you to be okay. But really in that moment, all you need is to like be held and validated and that those feelings are just as important as the other side of things that's bright and happy and all the positivity. Like you don't have that without the other half of life. And there's just this like misconception that we're all on this like journey to just being happy. And I'm like, but it's not, it's and both. It's all the things all at once and you can't really escape it. And I think just holding that space and honesty with each other makes you feel less alone where you're not like, why am I struggling so much and everybody else seems okay. And I've been noticing that so much in the new music that we've been releasing. Some people have been like really upset by the change and being like, what happened to the rainbows and the butterflies? And what happened to the band that's so positive and got me through so much? Like that band is also human. And like, these were my feelings and that should be valued and honored just as much as the other ones on Super Bloom, because it's your whole existence and you're not denying yourself of your truth by just trying to slap a smile on and like present that you're doing okay when you're not.
And it's it's not like you aren't going to play those songs live anymore, right?
It depends.
at the beginning of the career in a creative field, you know, you start out making art in one way, and through time, you're not the same person throughout time. Time isn't linear. We're not linear. We're organic. You know, life is color and mishmashed and mess. And if we and our fans right. and our subscribers to our art expect that our art is going to stay the same throughout time, then they don't understand what art really is. And they need to just go fuck themselves.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, when you started out and decided I am a musician, I am an artist, I am a writer, I am a human. Were there things that you went into it wanting to express that you were feeling that you were afraid to do because of that?
Yeah, I think there were things I was fearful of being and stepping into myself entirely as a to protect myself, honestly, from what the music industry was, you know, 15 years ago was very different as to what it is now, with the roles that it was heavily male dominated and not the most safe for a young teenage girl who was really doing it on her own. So I think I was very intentional about how much of myself I let exist. And then I think that's where things started to, where you start to filter yourself as a way to protect yourself, which now I'm realizing, oh, no, I get to show up and be all parts of me. And I get to decide that and not let someone else dictate who I am and what I have to say, and not doing so out of fear. And I think this album has been a really amazing lesson of that, of like really putting that into practice, because I know this is a big shift from what was, and I have to let myself exist and have my feelings and what I have to say, and the visuals and everything has to be what I like, not thinking, okay, what is everybody else going to want from me? And while I would love to make everybody happy, it's just not humanly possible.
Never is.
The race, you know, and I think I was as a chronic people pleaser, everything goes through the lens of, oh man, is this person going to be disappointed or not like this, or not like this new sound or this change of outfit or whatever. And I just was starting to like lose myself while trying to make other people happy. And that also happens with like labels too, of like, I have been told everything under the sun of to change how I look, to change how I sound, to change how I dress, all these things. And so you start to, not that I ever fully believed it, but those voices hang out in your head for a while, where you're unable to just like trust your instincts and to trust your experience without letting everybody else muddy the vision.
Right.
And I mean, when we're first learning how to human after our parents fucked us up, we don't necessarily know that, oh, I can tell myself that I love myself. I can hype myself up.
Yeah.
And that will make me stronger when those other people come at me and tear me down, because I'm like, I believe my voice more than I believe anybody else's voice. But if my voice is constantly telling me bad shit, just like everybody else's, if I'm listening to them and I'm reiterating it in my head and out loud, it just makes it that much harder to deal with those moments and feel any sort of empowerment. So I think that part of this album for you is beautiful. The fact that you can say like, fuck all that noise. This is what I am. This is what I want. Yeah. And I'm strong enough to stand here and say that with pride. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Woo. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Claps for you. Yeah. If we do snaps, then our producer's going to think we want to take it out.
Is that your code for taking something out?
Yeah.
just take it out.
Definitely don't take out that part. That was amazing what you just said. And
oh, no. I don't usually take my genitals out in front of strangers.
Oh, my God. Take that out, Drew.
I have been drinking this drink.
You're my new favorite person.
Well, unfortunately, we're kind of getting to the end of the time we have for the interview today. But before we do, there's a question I want to ask of everybody in the room. And that question is about nosebleeds, that we endure, things that punch us in the face, things that keep us away from the things that we want. I'm wondering from each of us, what is a nosebleed, a metaphorical nosebleed that you have endured recently, and what helped you recover from it?
Oof. These are heavy questions, man. Let's go back to the onion peanut butter sandwich. That was my sixth.
Our podcast gets deeper as we go. We're not your typical interviewers.
I know.
We want to hear your deep, dark stories and how mom fucked you up.
Oh, man. Yeah. That would be a very long podcast. You guys guys? I feel like I've been talking a lot, Murph and Nate and Frankie.
Yes. Yeah. No, so like I battle with like tremendous anxiety and self-doubt, self-judgment and all of that stuff. And I'm constantly struggling with it. And that is probably my biggest, you know, metaphorical nosebleed is like this trying to stop myself from saying, you know, judging myself and talking poorly about myself in my head, because I do think thoughts like I suck, I'm good enough, I'm, you know, I'll never be as good as this person or whatever it is. Like, it's constant with me and I'm not even fully aware that I'm doing it. So that's something that I'm really trying to work on heavily, is like tell myself nice things, because we're designed that way. We're totally wired to just essentially beat ourselves up. I don't know why we do that, but that's how we're wired. And I'm trying to fix that wiring, because it's messed up and it's not cool. Whoever's made
it. You're doing great.
You're doing great.
You're doing great,
amazing, sweetie.
I'm great.
You are. I'm
special in my own way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think we really only have time for one more person to tell us about their nosebleeds. Who wants to take it?
Murph, you want to share?
Go ahead. If you have a good one, Mandy.
I mean, isn't the whole album about her nosebleeds?
That's what I was going
to say.
Murph,
true.
Murph, we need to hear from you, man. Okay. You can't just sit in the shadows.
This is a big metaphorical nosebleed, and you're probably... Hold on, I got to blur my background again. Hold on. No, I think for me, like the nosebleed I think about is, you know, we love being musicians, and I think there's few greater gifts in the world you can get than to share some of your art with people and have that connection. But it's a hard life, right? Committing to being in music or any art, like I think a lot of people, unless they really do it or take those risks, especially when you go through something like a pandemic, where suddenly the entire business side has dried up for 2 years or something. And I think that can be hard. And it does feel like a nosebleed sometimes. It does feel like you're getting sucker punched. And there's a lot of people in your life who might tell you, you know, well, what are you going to do? You can't do that. You know, well, what is that what you're going to do? You know, and I hear that over the years, can feel like a cumulative nosebleed. But I'm lucky because I get to hang out with these great and inspiring friends of mine who are also extremely talented and face a lot of challenges. And I think that's kind of the key to the human experience a little, is like we are all self-doubting. We are all scared and overanalyzing our actions. But through each other, you know, like on stage with instruments, through the discussion that we can have, that's really the strength that we can give each other. Mm. So that's how I'm trying to get over my nosebleed, is hanging out with these guys and drinking some of your also sucker punch
sounds
drinks.
Sounds like y'all are being taken advantage of. You better be careful about this one.
They know me already.
Who, us? Wait, I missed the punchline, damn it.
It's okay. You'll hear it in a couple months.
But you know that already.
Look out for that dog.
I'm sorry that's how you feel. You think like people are saying, like, how are you gonna do music in the face of how difficult it has been? Is that what you're saying? Essentially.
Or like people just think to some degree, like, oh well, that's not possible. That's not the norm. That's not the norm.
What is norm?
Oh no.
Yeah.
What is normal? I don't even know what normal is. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, what is normal?
Okay.
Exactly.
I was making sure. There was this weird, awkward silence. I was like, what is normal? And everybody's like,
well, good thing we're almost done with the show. And then we're going to...
You guys are having so much fun. I love that. I love when you're like, we don't want to leave.
Yeah, you guys have been a lot of fun to hang with.
But luckily, we still have one more part of the show to do. Who would like to play a game of our favorite... Well, it's our favorite game. It's hashtag mood. Who would like to play?
Me.
Me.
What's your mood? What's your hashtag? What is your mood? What's your hashtag?
That's our amazing hashtag mood theme song, courtesy of Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. But what is hashtag mood, you ask? Hashtag mood is the game we like to play at the end of every show to flex our playlist building skills. What we are going to do right now is go over to the Tunes and Tumblr's inbox, where fans of the show have submitted moods. These are things on their mind, things that they've been experiencing that they want turned into music. What we're going to do is listen to one of them, and we are going to each pick a song that turns it into the perfect Spotify playlist. And, you know, there's quite a few.
I have a lot of fans. I don't know if you knew this. You're kind of popular.
Who are your fans? Who are you?
No, I'm saying y'all have a lot of fans that write in for our hashtag mood. We sometimes will ask for the fans of the artist in particular to be like, what do you want to ask your favorite artist of all time during our podcast? It's basically us.
A lot of people wrote in.
I mean, I'm assuming we always have a lot of people write in for stuff.
Here's
carrier
one.
Pigeons come in, you know, it's hard to, it's
yes,
hard to figure it out.
I'll drop in their responses.
Well, I have one that I have picked out that was submitted a long time ago that I've been wanting to work with. This is from Instagram at Sarah Scott Pape, who wants to know if we can make a playlist for the mood Tastefully Angsty.
Good God. That's
which feels like a nosebleeds type of mood.
I don't want to plug our own song here, but if the shoe fits.
You're always allowed to. You're always allowed to plug your own music. That's what we're here for. We're here for you to plug your own music instead of diving into other people's music.
I thought this was a therapy session.
That's what it is. Anthony's actually a therapist in training.
Oh my God. Wow.
Among all the things that he and I do in our lives that don't involve sleep ever. I'm trying to figure out when sleep happens for this one. I'm pretty sure he's a vampire that just is okay with sunlight and just like okay with the bags under the eyes.
Oh, I already know because y'all brought up the 1975 before. I know what my song's going to be. It's Looking for Somebody to Love by the 1975 because it's fun and it's upbeat and it's tasteful. But he also wants to fuck this guy up good. Smash the competition, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's a great, I love that answer. That's better than nosebleeds.
We can put nosebleeds on there too. Top of the playlist. Who's got another one?
I'm sticking with what I've been listening to lately. And the theme, the song is Incinerate by Sonic Youth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a classic, but it reminds me of like kind of the way to be happy and go lucky, almost like in a Smashing Pumpkins happy go lucky way. You know, so not happy go lucky, but quite tastefully angsty.
The assignment was angst, not happy go lucky, Murph.
I thought it was tasteful angst. Tasteful angst.
Tasteful angst.
What is tasteful
just
angst? Like baby angst? Like you're not like screamo. It's like we're a little angry.
I'm gonna go with Try My Best by Anna of the North.
She's so good.
It's literally as you think, you know, nobody knows us like those people that are closest to us and that hurt us the most. And we're all just trying our best to get through it all. And it's fucking hard. And our anxiety and our fears of what people are going to do and say to what we do and say is constant. I'm always, I mean, I've gotten to this point now over the last couple of months through some real hard self-love. And pushing myself to really understand that if somebody says something to me that I don't like or somebody does something that I don't like, I'm allowed to walk away and take care of myself. And that kind of has alleviated some of that angst and some of that fear of what's going to happen if I do what I need to do. Because doing what I need to do has been making me a lot happier lately.
Truth.
That's
truth.
Cheers to that with my imaginary sucker punch.
ATN, do you have one to add to the list?
Can I do a Remy Wolf song, Photo ID? Does that work?
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that song.
Awesome.
I like that song.
That's your explanation, and
we're sticking to it.
You know, we're gonna give y'all another chance. I got one more mood that I want to do because it's been sitting on my desk and it looks fun.
Yeah.
All right, this one comes to us again from Instagram. This is @_BaxterHall_, who says very simply, saucy. Give us a saucy playlist.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go with Sugar Sugar. I'm talking at the same time.
I'm gonna go with Remy Wolf, Photo ID.
Wait, that's the one you did for the last one.
Did he stutter?
He's just like without any like. We'll put it on twice just for you.
Oh no.
I'm gonna go with Sugar Sugar, Dreamers, Baby Bash, Frankie J. So it's so they basically did they remixed the song and it's fucking fire. That's my choice.
Fun. Okay, I gotta listen to that
because we love Dreamers.
Hell yeah.
Mm. Mine is Cuff It by Beyonce because I can't stop listening to that song.
You took my answer. Anything off Renaissance.
Okay, I'll choose what is it? Plastic on the couch or sofa? What was it? Like
sofa. Sofa.
Plastic on the sofa. Sorry, Caitlin, to this day, I can't tell the difference between a couch and a sofa, and I apologize.
Stop apologizing for what you're never going to learn.
All right, so we got two Beyonce songs.
There's no apologizing here.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just going to forever think you're a dum-dum.
No. But yeah, I'm going to echo anything off of Renaissance is pretty. I feel like Beyonce is the queen of sauce. You know,
and spicy, and saucy. Lizzo.
Oh, and Lizzo. Ooh,
yeah, some very good Lizzo.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But yeah. Hey, are you still going to go with photo ID for sauce?
Well, I wanted to double down for the sauce, but I think I'm going to, you know what?
You should always double down for sauce.
Yeah, that is true. You always want extra sauce. Come on.
You know what I found to be an amazing record that didn't get enough recognition was Dirty Computer by Janelle Monáe. I know it's like older. But that record is amazing, and there's a whole like visual album online, and Make Me Feel is an amazing song.
That song is fucking fire. Yes.
So like Prince, yeah,
fresh. Deserves to be like listened to more by more people.
I listen to it all the time. I'm there with you.
Yes.
All right.
Same here.
Banger. Murph, you're up.
Yeah, I might be in a different category here, but I was really thinking Sauce and Leon Bridges. Like Leon Bridges to me is just a sultry kind of singer who can smooth things. So Bad News would be my pick. I think that song.
Yes.
I
like it. Fuck yes.
Pretty saucy.
Yes.
She made a good thing out of Bad News. Great line.
I love that. that is the definition of sauce.
About his saxophone.
I saw him play in Europe not that long ago.
Do you ever just like walk onto some random rooftop with your do you ever just like go on any random rooftop with your saxophone and just like play into the night? I just always imagine somebody that has a saxophone has at least done that once, and if you haven't, you should do it now.
I have been on rooftops with a saxophone in New York. It's not the most welcome sound, you know.
Nothing in New York is welcome.
It's a tight city, but you know, there's chainsaws going off. People are doing construction in the road, so
New York is the perfect place for that, and the imperfect place for it. It's all wrapped in one.
Well, thank you everyone for playing. Thank you all for playing hashtag mood with us today. And before we incur further wrath of the tech gremlins, I'm going to wrap things up by saying, listeners, do you have a mood of your own? Leave us a message by calling or texting the Tunes and Tumblers hotline at 626-604-6477, or follow us on Instagram and give us a mood when we ask for them in our story. Who knows? Your favorite artist may just get to make you a playlist on the air. But you know, it's that time once again.
Closing time.
Yes.
Sorry, I had to do it. I've been holding off. I've been holding off
no,
for
you
so
haven't.
Long.
You've done it every single episode.
No, I skipped a couple. I've not mentioned Lizzo, and I've not done closing time in song form at least for three recordings.
Listeners know you're lying, but that's okay. Before we close up for the night, do y'all have anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, we'll be in Los Angeles October 10th at the Wiltern.
Yay! I'm so excited.
Right around the show. San Fran is October 11th at the Warfield, and October 9th in Phoenix at the Van Buren. So if you're on the West Coast, come see us. Oh, and Portland and Seattle right after that. So
yep.
We'll be up and down the West
tour
Coast.
Tour dates are on our website at MrWise.com.
Yeah.
Slash tour.
Slash tour.
Do you know the dates off, or are you reading off of an email?
Yes.
No, I memorized the website to go to look up the tour dates.
He memorized the tour dates. I actually yesterday put it onto my calendar so that I can know that I'm going to be at the Wiltern, because I haven't seen a show at the Wiltern in a minute, and I used to live up the street at 9th and Oxford, and I love that venue. It's such a cool place. It's beautiful, it's fun, and it's right in the middle of such a sick ass part of LA.
Yeah, so excited. And the tours with Bishop Briggs, who we love, so definitely come
out. She's great.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
I know.
It's gonna be great.
Fun fact, I have seen her, I think, three or four times and each time was unintentional. Like, I had no idea she was supposed to be there, and then she showed up and played a show.
He's like her secret fan.
Well, the next time you see her will be very intentional.
Heck yes. Like, we've been really looking forward to this interview. You are like one of our favorite bands of all time, so thank you for being here.
We're excited
thank
for
you
all
for
the fun of this.
Fans. Thank you. Yeah, we feel really lucky. You guys have been so supportive, and we love Atwood. Happy we finally got to do this. We'll do it again in person or with new Wi-Fi.
I'll bring you booze to the Wiltern. We'll work it out with the people in charge. Either that or I'll just sneak it in.
That would be, yes. I'll bring a flask if they don't want to do a.
I mean, I brought a flask for Barnes Courtney, and we went onto his like bus and had it, and we did the shot together of the cocktail. We just like poured shots because it was right before the show. And if you're going to go sing, we don't want you to like fucking drink. And so it was fun. We like to share the thing we created so that you can actually taste what we feel from your music.
Love it. I like this plan because then we can taste it and also feel it during the music, you know.
Exactly.
While we play. Okay, great.
All of the above, yes.
Well, thank you once again. And thank you all for listening to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast and a member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Be sure to follow us on every platform. Also, please rate and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us out a lot. And if you go into the episode description and scroll to the very bottom, you'll find a link where you can support the pod. Every dollar goes to keeping the lights on and getting supplies to make these delicious drinks. Tunes and Tumblers was produced, as always, by that lovable Drew Franzblau and researched by Lily Easton. Our theme song is by New New Girlfriend. Our hashtag mood jingle comes to us from Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. And until next time, cheers!
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 Thank you guys.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.